Bibles, if you would please turn with me to the book of Acts.
Amen.
Where it all began, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts. Acts chapter 1. Welcome to our online service. We're glad you're here.
Amen.
Acts chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses numbers 8 through 12. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Yeah.
And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Yes.
And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner of you seen him go into heaven.
Yeah.
Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Right. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, Psalms and Proverbs, the book of the preacher, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Boy, did we have service this morning.
Woo!
God really blessed. The Holy Ghost poured out. I pray that you, as you were online, that God spoke to you and that you felt the Holy Ghost in your homes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and we're going to be reading one verse of scripture, verse number 10. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whithersoever that thou goest. Whatever your hand findeth to do, you need to do it.
Amen.
Jesus, we love you today. We praise you. We are thankful, God, for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit has already been moving. The Holy Ghost is alive and well on planet Earth. We praise you. We worship you. Speak to our hearts and our minds today. Allow the Holy Ghost to get deep inside every soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, he shoots and he scores, and the crowd rises to their feet as together they begin screaming and pounding on each other's shoulders and back. Many react by throwing their hats along with other articles high into the air. Well, why? Because their team has just won the playoffs. Had it been a long and hard season within the close of this playoff game, that the much-anticipated win and the securing of the cup drove the crowd wild with excitement.
Woo!
They were jumping from seat to seat. They were high-fiving and clapping hands.
Woo!
They were shouting about their team and declaring their victory.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the game was over. Spectator sports, as we know them, have built their own set of culture and traditions around the world over the years. In the United States, when it comes to the spectator sport of football, cheerleading, pregame, halftime entertainment, and even including such things as fireworks, particularly for the big games, those that have the competition decider events. Who's going to win? How close to the goal are they going to get? It includes the international test, pardon me, of players' skills.
Great.
See, in there, the people's excitement, spectators have been known to throw toasts, fake rats, catfish, and yes, even octopus into the arena or into the playing field. The reason is because the excitement of the game has driven them to a state of both the form of a frenzy as well as an overwhelming spirit of sheer excitement and enthusiasm. They are lit up. The crowd is hot and ready to respond. It has been said that people shown up to the game with their faces and even their bodies painted as they arrive in mass, for they've come to support their team. They came out to give their hurrahs. They came out to give their side to their team to let them know whose side they're on. When they do this, and they have done this even in sub-zero freezing weather, as well as other adverse conditions and people come out. What do they come out for? We're out for the team. We've come here to support the players. It didn't matter if they lost 15 games and won one. They're there for their team. They're there to rah-rah them, to get them up and get excited about the winning team and who's going to bring home the cup.
Right, right.
What are these people that I'm talking about? Well, I'll tell you what they are. They are devoted spectators. And they have come out to root for and to cheer on their teams. Mm-hmm. The North American Society for Sports Management is a society that devotes much of their annual conference to research. What do? They address the psychology behind a desire to view spectator sports, looking for ways for them to gain leverage in order to increase demand. Much of the research focuses on exploiting the need for secondhand achievement with a desire to promote the involvement of the spectator. In order to project a public image through the declaration of team allegiance, everybody went, rah, and they rah for their team. They want you to be on your team's side. They want you to wear the colors. They want you to shout when they get a goal. They want you to be excited when you walk through the turnstile of the gate. Mm-hmm. In other words, spectators gain a sense of achievement from accomplishments that they have not done. Meaning, though they are not the players on the team, by their associating themselves with something that they themselves are not a part of, as being a part of the team, they attain a sense of a winning on behalf of the team players that they support. Separation and that being of the active and of the passive, the line between sport and spectator, gives rise to the paradox of the spectator described by French philosopher Jacques Renier, which is to seek the opportunity or an opportunity to passively contemplate engaging in an activity, in doing so to forfeit that life moment, one that might have been used to actually engage in the activity. All right, confused mind, I'll say it again. Being a spectator can mean that you give up the opportunity and the reality of actually doing, feeling, and experiencing that moment in your life. Meaning, a spectator is not actually experiencing the activity, but is deceived into thinking that by receiving the experience secondhand, that they somehow become part of what is happening. We won, and that's our team, and oh, we made the playoffs, and they shout, they pour their pop, and throw their popcorn up in the air, and they get all excited. They weren't out in the field. They were not there freezing to death. They were not there giving everything they got, but you know what? Because they associate in their mind that that's my team, and that's who I'm running for, it don't matter what other people think or say. We won, you know, we're the team, and we're the people out there that are supporting our team. We are spectators. Now, having said this thus far, this afternoon, I want to preach to you a message titled, Church is Not a Spectator Sport.
Amen.
Church is not a spectator sport. I want you to pay attention to that guy in the gray in the front end row. Church is not a spectator sport. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of John. Chapter 12, the Gospel of John, chapter 12. John chapter 12, reading verses 35 and 36. The Bible says, Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. But he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Well, you have the light. Believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them.
Right.
What was Jesus saying? He was saying this. Right now, while I'm with you, I want you to listen. And I want you to learn. For the time will come when instead of just receiving all of my teaching, It will be you who in turn will be called upon to take and to use what you have learned in order for you to reach out to others. I'm just not Pavlov feeding you. What does the Bible talk about? You're only able to drink milk because you're not ready for meat. I'm not just here to pat you in the back and do everything for you. You need to pay attention. You need to listen to what I'm telling you today, because the day will come when you're going to get out there and you're going to do what it is that I've told you and taught you and have instructed you to do.
Amen.
I have to say, this day, how that especially in these times of COVID restrictions and online services, how that it is easy for we as a people of God to get a spectator attitude.
Right.
We get that spectator attitude when it comes to our reaction to the moving and the unctioning of God, as well as to the impact that the Word of God has upon our lives. Now, why would that be? Because first of all, you, maybe we, are not there. We're not there present in that service. Well, why would you get that attitude? Because the feeling of being closed in, isolated, outside of the feeling of the unity that together we experience in a literal church service is not there. Think about it for just a moment, what I'm saying to you today. Let me give you an example. Singing songs while staring at your tablet, your computer, maybe your iPhone, your Android, whatever, it kind of leaves many people feeling flat. Trying to allow the Spirit of God to move within your being, while at the same time not being able to experience such a move of God in the company of others, well, that kind of leaves you in that watch mode, that non-participating, I'm not here mode. I've done it myself. We sit at home because other people have joined that Zoom team and I'm not part of it. And there you are, and you look at your screen and they're singing a song. And you look, well, who am I singing to? And well, you go, of course you're singing to God. Well, I'm just so excited about singing to my tablet and spitting all over it. I'm so excited. You know what I'm going to do? Could you imagine, let's say you live in an apartment building or in a closed-in neighborhood, could you really imagine? And you're going, yeah, Pastor, that's right, preach it. Woo! I got my healing day. God, I want you to move. Could you imagine the neighbors?
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, is this 911? This lady, this guy, they're having a conniption fit. They're falling apart in room 504. Excuse me, ma'am, sir. You hear what's going on? Is he killing her? What is he doing? And there you are, and could you imagine Sister Wilson doing the jiggy jig on the third floor? And she's just spinning around, and her husband says, honey, you're knocking down the screen. Would you slow down? And, well, I don't want to be a spectator. I want to participate. I'm not there to just sit and watch and stare at my screen and hoping that something that the pastor, the preacher, whoever it is, wakes me up. And what it is that I have come to say to you, one and all, is in the act and action of our living our lives for God, never one time has God ever and had never planned for we as His church and people to allow church and the working of that of our praise and worship and involvement to be or to become a sideline activity as a non-participator. I don't see anywhere when the Bible says shout with the voice of triumph, mm-hmm. and the Bible talks about jump, and the Spirit saying lift up, hold. I don't see anywhere He says just sit there and be quiet. Let it be a sideline. Let it be something that you just observe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Think about it for a moment. Here we go. Ask yourself, when is it that the Spirit of God begins to move? When we as a people of God take the time to begin to respond to what we are feeling and what we are experiencing. In other words, by our, maybe you're just sitting there and spectating, by you're not getting involved in the Spirit of what's going on in any one particular service, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, it would be what has the ability to leave you the very way that you might have turned that service on. And you'll leave it empty. You're going to sit there, they're going to preach, and you're just going to maybe nod your head, look at your screen, and you're going to think, oh, well, yeah, that was a good thought. And I really didn't get fed. I didn't really eat well because I wasn't there. James, he writes in the book of James, chapter 1, if you would turn there with me. James chapter 1. Hebrews, James. Find Hebrews, flip over to James. James chapter 1, we're going to be reading verse number 22. What does he write? But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Right.
Here you go. If Jesus said it, I believe it, but I ain't doing it.
Nope.
That's not how that song goes.
Right. Right.
If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie.
Come on.
See, when the Bible speaks of our lifting up holy hands, shouting unto God with the voice of triumph, as I've already said, singing to yourselves with hymns and songs and spiritual songs, it doesn't always mean in your mind, silently. But more often is this kind of an outward vocal response is the one that you have to offer up by giving yourself, taking affirmative action.
Right.
And it is you who expresses your inward love for God in a clear outward expression through that of your acts and your actions.
Amen.
Here you are, you're locked up in your home and you're watching on your computer, whatever device you have to be part of this online service, and you see the songs go up, and I feel just sometimes what we need to do is just get out of ourselves and forget where we are. Just picture yourself in a crowd of hundreds, maybe thousands, and just worship God. If the preacher makes a good point, then say so. Maybe you lift up your hand. Well, I'm not just, you know, airing out my armpit. No, you're going to lift up your hand, and you're going to worship God. Maybe wave it. You know, I don't care if anybody sees you. God sees you.
Amen.
God knows what you're doing. God knows you're responding. And when you begin to respond, God will begin to respond back to you.
Yes.
See, as this COVID pandemic relentlessly carries on with the many number of restrictions and hindrances to we as a church of the living God, it's just, you can't do this, you can't go there, you can't have that, you can't do this, you can't do that. So I who believes it in turn is God who in such a time is calling for we as his people into action. Satan is he who laughs as the church in many ways has been forced into silence. No gathering, no socializing, no fellowship with the health officials doing their best to put the brakes on everything God has called for us as a church to do. What did God call for us to do? To not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. What did God call for us to do? To call unto him, to praise him and worship him in spirit and truth. All that I can respond to this by saying is that all of you that are under the sound of my voice today, is because of this, we do not have to become an anemic, lethargic, empty, spirited church.
Right. Amen.
Just because they shut us off and turn us out, we don't have to just fall down and die. Why? For we are the church triumphant.
Amen.
We are a people of God, those who God has called unto victory.
Amen.
And in the face of the many restrictions that we're facing, it's I who declares loud and clear that we, church, in response to all that we're up against, must understand that instead of sitting back and allowing the very life to be taken out of us, it's we who must remember that we are a people of God, an army that is marching on to war, a war against the devil. The devil says, be quiet, and that just makes me want to not be quiet. The devil says, don't respond, don't react. That just gives me a hunger to want to react. Don't you lift up your hands. Don't you amen that preacher. Don't you get your heart into that message. Don't you listen to the songs of praise of Zion that you're singing. Just be quiet.
Come on now.
It is a war. I believe that now has come the time. It is not the time to sit back in the mode of a spectator and just watch.
Right.
But while there is still time before the darkness, I believe, falls and Satan tries to drive us completely underground. You need to get off the fence of being just a spectator. And it's you as a child of God who needs to jump into the battle. And it's time for us as a body of Christ, as one, to be and to become participators. Well, pastor, preacher, how do you do that? By our allowing the Spirit of God that is within us to become active.
Amen.
And to respond.
Amen.
To do all that we can do to get ourselves out of the realm of just giving God a 50 cent style of praise and worship. I lifted a pinky. I sang one song. I nodded my head halfway through the service because I finally woke up after going to sleep. So we may not be able to run the aisles. Then again, you can. It may be true that if it is you who shouts with a hearty amen, that nobody outside of your home will hear it. But it is we, church, and all of you that are listening in on this service this day, at all costs, need to refuse to just be a spectator.
Right.
And in turn, to do what it is that you know that you need to do in order to be a participator. Why can't you? In your house, maybe while we're singing the songs, I felt the Holy Ghost moving through those three little short songs. I felt God just begin to move, and the doodads are going up and down my back. Well, why can't you stand to your feet and maybe walk around your front room or your kitchen, wherever you are? Well, why can't you, raise your hand and begin to wave back and forth? Well, no one's going to see me. Well, it's not showman. It's not a showman game. We're here to let God know that we love Him and that we worship Him.
Yes, yes, yes.
Restrictions can restrict our bodies, but they cannot restrict our soul.
Amen, amen.
You can receive the Holy Ghost wearing a mask.
Right.
You can teach a Bible study out on at a patio restaurant or at the park, even in your own backyard.
Amen.
You can walk with him, get your dog outside and just walk down and say, I want to tell you what Jesus did for me.
Right.
You know what? I repented of my sins, got baptized in Jesus' name, God filled me with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Oh, he did. Absolutely, you know. And he wants to do it for you. Would you like me to stop right here and pray for you?
Amen. Come on.
Why not? You still can talk to somebody about Jesus socially distanced.
That's right.
Prayer is not restricted. Praise is not restricted.
Right.
Worship does not have to be a half-hearted effort.
Amen.
But with all your heart, your mind, your soul, it's you who can worship God, sending your praise up to heaven's throne.
Yes.
See, I believe it's time to stop focusing on what we cannot do.
Come on.
I can't do this.
Come on.
And we need to get back to doing what we can and what we know we should be doing.
Right.
We're an apostolic church. We should be alive and well on planet Earth. We shouldn't have people go to sleep in our services. We shouldn't have people go and sleep online, listening in online and going, good thing that we got their mic shut off. We're apostolic. We need to do what we know we need to do.
Amen.
Well did the writer of Ecclesiastes, as we read today, write in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. He writes, what? Soever thy hand findeth to do, do it.
Amen.
Do it with thy might. There's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whithersoever thou goest. Would you turn with me now, please, to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 47. Let's dive right in, both feet. Ezekiel chapter 47. Going to read verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshing threshold, out of the house, eastward. For the forefront of the house, pardon me, stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man had the line in his hand, he went forth eastward. He measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankle. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters which were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000 as if it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. These scriptures have a great deal of significance to us and concerns to our and that of your walk with God. As it was Ezekiel who walked deeper into the water. You listening? He went from his ankles to his knees, all the way to his loins. And in each case, Ezekiel was one who had full control of his life circumstance. But as it was he who got to the point where he could only swim. It's just like God in our lives who carries us to different points in and within our lives until it's we who get to the place where God, who is the one, he kind of backs off and he says, if you're going to go any further, you're going to have to do it on your own. Not without God, but by your being the one to take yourself from where it is that you are right now to where it is that God in such a time wants you to be. Just like it was with the disciples of the Lord. Okay, now I showed you, I taught you, I led you, I helped to guide your steps. Now from this time on, you can no longer spectate, for it's you who must learn to participate.
Right.
And the question could be asked today, why is it that people or people of God have become, or even aren't many churches, just spectators? How? Well, first of all, they become that by you keeping in control of all of your responses. Meaning, you don't have to put out the effort to respond. It's you who doesn't have to allow yourself to be or to become vulnerable unto God. It's we or even you who swiftly becomes a spectator in church, as it's you who refuses to step out into unfamiliar waters. Where it is you who you believe, you know, I might make a fool out of myself. I'm not going to lift up my hands, and I'm not a singer, so I'll just mumble the words under my breath. I will not vocally call out to God in front of others, etc., etc. Or maybe it's you who just sits there watching and observing. Why? Because you don't want to make a mistake, nor do you want to allow God to move on you to the place where you respond, being concerned as to what others might think if you do. Well, I mean, what if we've had them over the years. What if I sing off key? We have this half of the church clapping this way, and the church on this side going this way, and the guy in the middle, he's just knocking his hand and going that way, and I just look around and figure, well, what do you do? Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, well, I know what I'll do. I'll put my hands in my pocket. I might even cross them. I'm not going to do that. And I've had people, I said, you know what? If a guy walked up to you and he stuck a gun at you,
yeah.
What would you do?
Right.
Well, I turned around and run. No, really, what would you do? Well, I put my hands up. I'd surrender. Oh. I said, so now you're in church and you know, you want to put up your hands. And what are you doing? I'm surrendering to God. God doesn't have to have a gun, hopefully, pointed at me for me to surrender.
Hallelujah.
But I lift up holy hands unto the Lord without wrath and without doubting.
Jesus.
Let's go a little bit further. I mean, what will happen if I allow myself to jump right into those waters? Never mind the ankle, the waist, the thigh, the loins. What will happen if I open myself up to God and tears begin to flow? What will happen if I let God take my tongue and I begin speaking in a language, one that I can't understand? And on, I want to tell you, the what ifs go. What if? So there you are, and there you remain, just a spectator. Robbing yourself of the experience that those which have the capacity, the very full capacity, of changing not just your life, but your pending destiny, and that forever. You know what? There's a story that was told about an old rich lady, and she was very proper. It was in the 20s or 30s, and she had her hair all nice, and she had the pretty little primmy dress on, and she happened to go walk into an old apostolic church, and they had sawdust floors, you know, and she just wanted to go in. I wish you could see me. And she was just wanting to go in and to see what was happening in that church. It was making a lot of noise in the neighborhood. And she thought, well, when I go in there, James, I will not act like them.
Come on.
So she tells her driver to park her car, and she walks in there, and she gets about halfway up, and she takes her position on one of the wooden pews, and she stands there while song service took off, honey, and the Holy Ghost started moving, and people were just going up and down the aisles, and as she just looked around at these people as a spectator, oh my goodness, and people act like that in church.
Yes.
Well, what did she do? She made the biggest mistake of her life, and she stepped out into that aisle, and the Holy Ghost grabbed a hold of her, and the next thing you know, she ran up to the front, and she was twirling around, and she was throwing bobby pins from the north to the south. Next thing you know, she's on her back, she's waving her arms, talking in an unknown tongue. The Holy Ghost filled her soul, and there she was, rolling around in the sawdust, that prim and proper, and then she kind of stopped. The Bible says, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I can turn it on, and I can shut it off. And so she stopped, and everybody was worshiping and praying around her, and she got up, and she kind of felt her hair, and it was sticking out everywhere, and her dress was full of sawdust, and,
yeah,
and maybe she broke a strap on her shoes. Who knows?
Right. Come on.
But she went from being a spectator, and she suddenly became a participator.
Amen.
Yeah. Woo! Amen. So let me stop for just a moment to tell you what will happen if you and your walking with God, or your desire to want to walk with God, decide to quit being a spectator and you begin to participate.
Amen.
First and foremost, it's you who will, in a very quick manner, will begin to be the one to feel the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
As it is He who fills your soul. Brother Hall this morning, what did he do? He talked about the conflict between joy and fear.
Right.
Guess what? Your fear will go, and in will come that spirit of joy.
Amen.
It'll grab a hold of you. You feel like, oh, wow, I think I can climb a mountain. I can jump over this obstacle in my life. When it's you who refuses to sit there on the sidelines and not respond, you'll get to where you begin to give God your all. It's you who calls out to God and begins to petition Him for what it is that you need in your life. I want to get out of this sinful life. I've got to break this addiction. I want a clear mind and heart. Really, God, I want the Holy Ghost. And the needs and the purposes could go on. It's at this point in your participating that you'll be one to hear the chains fall. The chains will begin to fall onto that ground as it's you who raises your hand in worship unto God. Feeling the experience of the weight of your sins lift off your shoulders. Finally being the one to rise to walk in newness of life. You say, you know what, Pastor? I want to get baptized. I want to go down in Jesus' name. I want God to wash away my sins forever. Worshiping God in tongues, praising God with all your might is what will come to pass once you, it's you who gets to where you used to spectate, whereas now it's you who participates.
Amen.
At this point in your life, you no longer care who hears you or what they might think. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And you know what? I became a Pentecostal, but I really wasn't a Pentecostal because I wasn't in church for any length of time. But that night, November the 14th, 1982, 39 years ago, I was the one that would make a fool of myself at a party, but not in front of a bunch of 300 or so people, Christians, you know. And I remember after I got the Holy Ghost and then got baptized in Jesus' name and came out of that water.
Yes, come on.
I'd gone back and I changed and I looked across this big, it was at Emmanuel Church in New Westminster. I looked across the entire auditorium and there stood Sister Reynolds, the pastor's wife.
Right.
And this rushing of a spirit of love and adoration just flooded my soul. And I looked at her and I beelined her and I ran, ladies and gentlemen, across the entire sanctuary of that church. She stood there in shock watching this bullet come from one end to the other. And I grabbed her and I wrapped my arms around her and I gave her the biggest hug and I wouldn't let her go. And here's all the prim and proper. Oh, that's the pastor's wife. You don't do that. You don't behave like, oh my goodness, you hussy. She's married. I didn't care. My worst enemy that day would have been my best friend. So I hugged on her, and she patted my back. Yes, brother. Somebody get this guy off me. I wasn't looking for a date. I was just in love. I was uninhibited. oh, I don't want to lift my voice about this. I don't want to pray, thank you, Jesus, bless this food. Wait a minute, it's not dinner time yet. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Forget you. Hey, guess what? I tell people, you know what? You got the Holy Ghost. I didn't have it. And if I don't have it, I'm going to get it.
Yes.
And I'm going to call up to God whether you like it or not.
Woo! Yes, yes, yes. Jesus, hallelujah.
So you just forget about what other people think about you, what they say. Because once and for all, it's you who's been set free. No longer do you have to wish for the power and the presence of God to be what calls upon you in your life. For your spectator spirit has been conquered, and your participating spirit is what sets you free.
Amen. Come on now.
All right, another reason people in church are spectators is because, ready? We heard about this morning, right, Brother Holland? Fear.
Right.
Come on.
What will happen if I go and pray with somebody? What would happen if I offered a person in the grocery store, the restaurant, my next door neighbor, a Bible study? What would happen if I took a chance and I chose to share my testimony with my neighbors or a sinner that needs God rather than hanging around those that I'm familiar with, you know, my clique? My friends, are you listening, spectator? Are you ready to hear, pending participator? For I'll tell you what will happen. That person that you chose to pray with will get filled with the Holy Ghost. The one that you decided to offer a Bible study will begin to want more of what it is that you have.
Amen.
For themselves and their family.
Amen.
And it's you who shared your testimony of what it was that
yes,
God
Lord.
Has done for you.
Yes, Lord.
Little did you know that you could be the one to save a life of somebody that may be on the brink of suicide or the edge of their life of wanting to just give up.
Right.
Because it was you in such a time who became the one to offer them hope in the midst of their world of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting, standing there outside, talking to them about the many wonders and the blessings of God, can it become for others a catalyst where they who are the ones who reach in their lives will get to the place where they decide, I ain't going to spectate. Hey, tell you what, I made a fool of myself many times in the world, and I'd rather be a fool for Christ.
Woo!
I'd rather be a fool for God. And
yes,
I don't have to hang from a chandelier. Of course, we can't afford one anyhow. Didn't buy one. But I don't have to just sit there on the sidelines.
Come on.
I want to have what you have.
Right.
I want to feel what you feel. And
right.
All that I've got to do to experience this is to stop from being a spectator in order for me to become a participator.
Amen.
You know what this is, church? Revival.
Woo!
Yeah. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Ready?
Woo!
It was at Christian Life College in Sacramento, California, a Bible school where 20 students had gathered at midnight for an impromptu prayer meeting. And about a half hour into the meeting, one of the boys received a call from a girl that he knew. She told this young man she was going to commit suicide, and she just wanted to say goodbye before she did. She thought he would be asleep, and so she would just leave a message, but our son Michael was there in that Bible school at that time that night, and he testifies that the boy talked to her and others prayed, and the girl was over 1,000 miles away. First she began to cry, and then she repented of her sins, and then God filled her with the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in unknown tongues. The Spirit of God gave her the utterance.
Amen.
It was a spectator that got that job done.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
But you who considers leaving the realm of a spectator, I wonder today just who it is that you could phone in order for you to share a message of hope. What life can you touch? What life can you help to see change?
Right.
The next question is just, what are you waiting for? For it's time for you to get off the fence of indecision in order for you to catch that vision, just where the church, where it's really meant, God's church is meant to be. Why? Because God's church is not, is not weak. God's church is not anemic.
Right.
We're not an anemic enmity or entity. We are not. We are a church, an army that's rising up.
Amen.
Rising up to the challenge, fighting against the attitude of our becoming a church full of people who are just spectators.
Right.
Listen to me, folks. In our scriptural text, Jesus had been just taken away. And there they were, just looking up, gazing, maybe even bewildered. What it was that they were seeing. But while they were doing that, the angels that spoke to them said that day, hey, what are you guys just standing there doing nothing, looking up? Jesus that you see going, he's coming back. But until he does, you need to quit being spectators. And now you got to start to be participators. So what they do, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that they went 120 into the upper room, not the supper room. And it was there that God met them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And this was, when they came out of there, the Bible says, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. It's time, church, pardon me, to catch a vision of what this church is meant to be doing in these end times. We don't want to put our life on hold while we wait for things to change.
Right.
Maybe they're not going to change. Maybe they'll probably get worse. But it's time, it's you who needs to get out of the spectator stands. And some of you today, you need to get into that playing field. How do I do that? By your praying and asking God what it is that he wants you to do. Well, how do I do that? By your taking that next step in your walk with God. Why sit there until you die?
Right.
If I haven't repented, repent. Right. If you haven't been baptized, let's talk about it. Right. If you haven't got the Holy Ghost, start seeking for it.
Right.
Find it today. Oh, I love those words. In the time of biblical history, it concerns the story of Esther. King Azarias had a right-hand man whose name was Haman. Haman is one that he hated. Haman was the one who hated Mordecai. Haman, he schemed to have the Jews destroyed, and he received the king's permission to do so. But what he didn't realize was that Esther was a Jew. The queen was a Jew. Turn with me, if you please, to the book of Esther, chapter 4. Before Job, you'll find, or before Psalms, pardon me, you'll find Esther. Esther, chapter 4. I want to lay this down, and I want to put it to rest. I want to put it in your heart and into your minds. Church is not a spectator sport.
Right.
Esther chapter 4, beginning at verse number 7. And Mordecai told him all that had happened unto him and of the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasures for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him a copy of the writing of a decree that was given to Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and declare it unto her and to her charge that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. And Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatach, and gave him commandments unto Mordecai. And the king's servant, and unto the people of king provinces, do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called there, is one law of his to put him to death. Except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he might live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall come an enlargement and a deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You ready? God had placed Queen Esther in the kingdom for that moment in history, when she placed herself in God's hands, and God used her to deliver the people. And why has God placed you here? In this time and at this place. For what purpose are you here today? You're listening online, say, what's my purpose in this pandemic, in this year 2021 of the month of April? Maybe for you to attain your salvation. If so, what are you waiting for? Maybe to reach a life that needs help. If so, what are you waiting for? When are you going to rise up and be counted? When will you catch the vision of what God has in store for you? I'll tell you when you stop being a spectator in the house of God. For living for God is not a spectator sport. And being a part of a church does not call you to just sit there and be a spectator. I'm supposed to tell you about what God did for you. I want to tell you the hope that lies within me. Here we go in closing. Did you know that the Apostle Paul was one who wrote four of his books of the New Testament while he was in prison. While in prison, Paul witnessed to Governor Felix, to Porcus, to Festus. Paul and Silas were in prison when they preached salvation to the jailer and all of his house. The apostles were told that they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer persecution, pardon me, for the name of Jesus. Amen. And so there you sit in your homes, online. Some overcome by a spirit of fear. Others just doing their best to hang on, hoping, looking for that break that might be coming. And I say, what if no break comes? And we are where we are. Is it going to be you who just continues to sit there doing nothing as the world about you is moving headlong toward that eternal destiny in that place called hell? So I appeal to you today, to those that are online and our Zoom team, to be the ones to stop fussing about politics. Stop being the ones to worry about the lockdown, the restrictions, and instead, let's put our focus together and our vision back to where it needs to be, where it belongs. Where's that? Our focus and our vision needs to be on the work of God, upon that role in our kingdom. What is my role in the kingdom? Instead of being overcome with going around as it's we the church, we need to become doers of the word,
right?
Not just hearers only, deceiving our own selves.
Right.
I'll share with you one last portion of scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 16. The book of Matthew chapter 5. He writes, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, where shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Would you stand with me together? Can't you see that it's Satan's plan to stifle the church, to shut down our worship, to limit our praise and our influence among others? If you say that you can see that, then what it is that I'm asking you to do is from starting today to stop just being a spectator and to start doing, if you haven't already, to become a participator. It's time for us to pray as the church triumphant. It's time for us today, friend, to give everything we got to Jesus Christ. There in your home today, if you are connected online right now, I encourage you to take some time to pray. In fact, why don't you determine today that you will pray until.